As Brother Juan was talking about, I just noticed that all of the four brethren that you have on this panel all come from the Midwest. I don't know if that was planned. Three of us grew up in Michigan. Two of us grew up in the same class, and we probably all played softball at one point or another during our formative years amongst the various brethren. So we used to see each other quite a lot. And so this is kind of like a reunion. As I thought about this verse and thought about the concept of a testimony, I went back and looked at the context, and verse 4 and 5 sort of struck out and means sort of stuck out to me. It's sort of talking about kind of where these paths were referring to. And I'll read it to you from the NASB. It says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." And the ways, Brother Len looked up the Hebrew in paths, meaning sort of a rut. Make me know your ways, that's actually for a road. So what's really being talked about is a path of life. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." So that really is where the path or the road leads. God leads us on the path to salvation if we're willing to follow it. And that's really the question. Are we willing to follow that path? Because the path will take us places we don't normally think we want to go. And the path will take us out of our comfort zone many times. You know, and I was thinking about this, about how many times that path has involved a no, where I wanted to go someplace or wanted to do something, and the Lord said no, and he pointed in a different direction. When I was getting ready to graduate from college, back in those days, I don't know if they do it now, companies would come and solicit, would basically recruit on campus for somebody to come and work for them. And I got, I had a company, a computer company solicit me, flew me out to Boston. I spent a weekend out there. It looked like a very promising opportunity. They never offered me a job. The Lord said no. I wasn't really to work in that area. I came back many years later and then met a lot of brethren who were there, but at that point in time, that was not where the Lord's path was leading for me. A number of years later, I was a project manager. We had an engineer on the end. We've got a finance guy over here. I was a project manager in the IT business. I worked for a newspaper. It was my job. It's kind of my career to automate the production of the newspaper, to turn it from glue pots and typewriters and linotypes and all the rest of that into a completely electronic process. And so along about the early 1990s, we had finally found the last big piece of the puzzle. It was a piece that was made by one of the vendors that we already had. It was a piece where the editors could actually put together a complete newspaper page electronically on a screen. We hadn't done that. Now, Steve Jobs had invented that for the Macintosh and desktop publishing about 10 years earlier, but newspapers were, you know, due to size and other things, it was a much bigger project. So anyways, as a project manager, it's my job to make this project happen. So we had to go find the right vendor, which was a vendor we already had. It was an extension to their product. We had to go figure out the financing, so I had to convince the finance guys that it made sense. We were going to actually make a profit off of this. We had to write out this big proposal, and we had to send it not just through our management, but we had to send the management of the company that owned us. We were owned by Tribune. So we wrote this big project. I got our president to sign it. We sent it all the way up to the board of the people in Chicago. And guess what they said? They said no. There was nothing wrong with the project. It was just not the strategic direction they wanted to go. What happened out of that was that I got involved in a project team, and they sent us all to Europe. Because there was a system that one of the people had seen in Europe that they thought might eventually grow, and did eventually grow, and we eventually bought. But that began the first part of the international travel for me, and then ultimately for my wife, and then that eventually led to the fact that we have gone and visited our brethren in India 9 times. But it all started with that no. And the fact is that sometimes when you make these big projects and you send them all the way to the top, it can be a career killer. But the Lord was opening a different door. Another way in which the Lord sort of manifested this is in 1995. The brethren in Grand Rapids decided to hold an international youth seminar. Was anybody here at that youth seminar? She was a cook. Alex was there because that's where we met Alex. And it was a wonderful thing. We took a bunch of young people, two of our boys. We actually drove them all the way up to that seminar and dropped them off so they could attend that. I remember because we drove all the way from Orlando to Grand Rapids, but we drove straight through and we got so tired that we pulled off in a road in central Indiana to sleep. And we had like 13 kids in our van. I mean, they were laying every which way. But anyways, we met it. We made it there. We dropped our kids off. They got to meet kids from Romania and Germany and Poland and France. And then after the general that was before the general convention, because the general convention that year was at Calvin College, if I remember right. And then afterwards, Brother John and Sister Esther Trezak, basically they took the young people from that seminar and went in different directions. And a number of them came down to Orlando, and we opened our home, and we housed the boys from that trip, and we had, I think we remember at the breakfast table, we had young people there speaking four different languages in our house as they ate breakfast before they had the fellowship. We were going outside our comfort zone. We invited all these young people, many of which we had just met. We didn't know. We invited them to our house. And that began the whole impetus within our house to basically go and visit the brethren overseas. Before this, my wife had said, Janice, had said she would never go to Europe unless they built a bridge and she could drive there. She doesn't like flying airplanes and she doesn't like flying over the water. But as a result of that, the fact that I had begun traveling to Europe for business, the fact that we now knew some brethren from Europe, some young people, we started going over to Europe. And first of all, it was the International Convention. And we met. I remember seeing Brother Alex in his little apartment and having this huge American flag on the wall. I'll always remember that. It was about like 4 feet by 6 feet. I mean, just the whole impression of the things that sort of drew the brethren together. And that was then formed our impetus to basically then go to India and visit the brethren in India. And we've been there 9 times. In fact, I added up the total and we've been there about 26 weeks over those 9 trips. And I remember the first visit there, this was back in 97, and we were there a little over a week. And there was a brother, Jayappa. Now, I don't think anybody in this room has ever met him. He was an older brother. He was a pilgrim. The rumor has it that he basically pedaled his little bike 40,000 kilometers into the Indian countryside, witnessing to the truth for a number of years. And he was a brother that gave a bunch of oral lessons, that if you ever heard of the 53 lessons, that's the distillation of his 200 or 300 lessons that he used to go and witness out in the bush. And he came up to me the last night that I saw him there. This was shortly before to leave. And he stuck his finger in my face. And he says, "You brother," he says, "you come back." He says, "We take 4 weeks, we go on my bicycle, and we go out in the country and we witness." I never got on the bicycle and went out to the bush. But we have had the privilege of going the last several trips to India for 4 weeks and meeting the brethren all over the country. But that was, I perceived that was actually sort of an answer to this Psalm 25:10, where the Lord was speaking to us saying, "This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is the kinds of things. And so the point is the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth, because he knows what we need to develop to become a mature Christian. Copy of Jesus. And oftentimes the scope of that is far beyond our concept or our understanding of what kind of experiences we need to, where we have to be sort of stopped in this direction and moved off in a different direction. Remember Brother Russell, I should have looked it up, but he talks about how the husbandman takes the vine. Remember, he pinches off some of the growths of the vine because it's going to go to wood making. You know, it's not going to produce fruit. So he prunes it, because that's going to sap energy. That's going to sap energy away from the producing of the fruit. And he trains the vine and directs it in different directions to grow more in the likeness of Jesus. And that's what our Heavenly Father does, because he can see the end from the beginning. He can read our heart condition. He knows where we need development. He knows the experiences we have to have. And so he arranges that. And if we'll stop back and we'll look and sort of forget maybe what our plans and our thoughts and our ideas are, we'll see that the paths of the Lord were the better way for us. I think Brother Stephen Serasi says, from disappointment to his appointment, change one letter, now I see that was God's better path for me.
Thank you, Brother Ernie. I was thinking of that 1995 International Youth Seminar. It was, as Ernie said, held just before the General Convention, which was in Grand Rapids that year. And I remember being part of the choir at General Convention, and if I remember correctly, there were only over 70 in the choir that year. And I think that's the largest that I've been part of in the years that we've been going to General Convention. And many of the young people from Europe participated in that choir, and it stands out in my memory as being one of the highlights over the years. So thank you, Ernie, for those comments. Brother Larry.
Well, for me, I was blessed by being put on this path from an early life, like those at this table. And I had a faithful mother who was handed down the heritage of the truth from her parents and her grandparents. And she was very faithful in passing that beautiful message of life and truth and hope that we have in the divine plan of the ages to me. I'm very thankful for that. I think this whole thing of the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. It's all about, as you've heard over and over again, these testimonies of these dear brethren here, which I say amen to, about learning heart reliance on the Lord in all of his exceeding great and precious promises. You take this one promise, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and what? He will direct your path. The question is, do you believe that? And to what degree do you believe that? And the whole thing that when you're on these paths, one of the main objectives besides Christ-likeness has been stated, is to learn heart reliance, as has also been stated, the heart reliance of a full submersion into the will of God and trust in all those exceeding great and precious promises. Do you believe that all things work together for good to your new creature, right? Because you love God and are called according to your purpose. Do you really believe that he will never, ever leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that? Now, you can give me lip service and say, yes, I believe it, but God says, look, I want to test your faith. It's all about faith. If you want me to trust you with a divine nature and be part of my divine family, you have to let go and show me your full confidence and faith and trust in me to direct your path. And so in my life, I've known these brothers that are up here for 50, 55 years. Every one of them at least 50 years. And we can all say how thankful we are that the Lord has directed our path from boyhood to where we are all now in our 60s. And the Lord has given us so many blessings. His loving kindness has been incredible. Let me just take some categories here. Let's just talk about the precious promises that in this relationship building journey that you're on as a consecrated individual. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Let me just give you a few examples in my life. Number one, way back in the 70s, talk about the Roskowitzes. We were up there at the Roskowitzes' cabin in Lake, and I think this was in the early 70s. And to show you how your guardian angels are watching so intently over you, listen to this. Brother John Trezak, we were young, he was driving this motorboat, and we were on the back on inner tubes, two or three of us. And we hit a wave, because another boat went by, we hit a wave, and that inner tube, my inner tube, hit that wave, and when it went up, the cord that was attached to the boat, now, how tight do you think they tighten those cords to the boat? That cord went up in the air, did something like this, and wrapped itself around my neck. And when the cord would be tightened again, what do you think would happen? That fast, I would have been decapitated. That quickly. But quicker than that, my guardian angel saw the situation and snapped that cord right off of that boat. Now tell me that was an accident, and I won't believe you. That's just one thing. Take another time when I was down in Birmingham and I was coming out of a convention with another sister and my wife. And I heard these young people that seemed to be having some kind of a heated discussion or argument or whatever. And it seemed kind of strange to me. You know, it just didn't seem right. It was dark. It was night. We're walking out. The parking lot is pretty much desolate. And I said to my wife and the other sister, I said, you go ahead, I just want to look at this, check into this a little bit. I walked over, and lo and behold, I get to the back of this truck, and a sister, I didn't know at the time it was a sister, a young sister bolts away from the truck towards me, falls on the ground, and says, he said, run quick, this man has a gun, and he's going to shoot you. Well, why was he going to shoot me? Because he was trying to abduct that young sister that had gone out in the parking lot to not hear noise and get on her telephone, completely oblivious, I guess, to the world's, you know, psyche at the time. And this gentleman had taken her and grabbed her when she came out with that cell phone in the dark, struggled, and she tried to make it look as though she couldn't walk with her heels. Hit her head. He when he figured that out, he threw her against the satellite dish. She gashed her head and then stuck a gun in her back and said, you know, you're coming with me in so many words. And she was pretty smart. When she was pulled around to the car by him with that gun, he opened the door and pushed her in. And that's where I think I heard the noise. He pushed her into the car. Now, you can imagine what his intentions were. It was a lovely young lady. And when she got into the car, or into the truck, she had taken the blood from her head, put it on the seat, so if nobody ever heard from her again, at least they'd be able to trace the blood if they pulled this person over, right? So she was thinking. She was also thinking, and it's pretty hard in that kind of a situation, a fight or flight, you think like this, but she was smart. She waited until he went around to the other side of the car, got his keys out to open his. That was her only window of opportunity. When he did that and took his eyes off her for that moment on the other side of the truck, that's when she bolted away out of the truck towards me. I grabbed her, and when she said, he's got a gun, he's going to shoot you, I didn't waste any time. I said, come on, let's go. And we ran towards the motel back into the convention. He pulled away and raced away, and that man is still out there somewhere. But all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth. And his loving kindness was that that sister subsequently got married and had a beautiful family. And the guardian angels had encamped about us. And not a hair of our head, like the promises are, could be hurt unless the Father would have allowed it. And he wasn't going to allow it. So we could go over many things. I'm sure if we had a testimony right now, how many could raise their hands about similar type things that have happened in their life where the Lord, if it was any more evident, it wouldn't be a walk of faith, would it? But in the Lord's loving kindness, one experience after the next happened. I mean, Sister Debbie and I were driving up to Fort Collins in 1974 and going through downtown Denver, and there was a lot of construction. And our little baby boy was in the back in a little crib type thing. And car seat or whatever. And we hit, we saw some construction holes and stuff that were around, some pits in the pavement. And something came into my mind that said, you need to move out of this lane. And we were behind a big truck with a long bed on it, an 18-wheeler. And Sister Debbie said at the same time that she had the same thing come into her head that we should move over. Just as we moved over, I could still visualize this about a foot and a half, 2 feet. Just as we were out of that lane, that truck hit a big chuck hole. The hinge on the trailer thing popped up. And the back of that trailer, where my recollection was, stopped. They have some kind of skid brakes on those things. Stopped. It would have decapitated us and killed all of us, probably, and our little boy. Needless to say, we were singing praises to the Lord all the way up to the convention. But not a hair of our head could be touched. You are virtually immortal until it's time to go. Jesus said that to Pilate. Remember, he said, when Pilate said, don't you know if I have power of life over death or over you? And Jesus said, you have no power unless my Father in heaven would give it to you. That's how special you are and I am to the Lord. It's all about building a relationship of trust. And the truth, the path of truth that we have. It's about taking and internalizing this truth, this path that we've been blessed to be on, and then recognize the appreciations of what we have. It's about building an education of understanding of our Father's will in primarily this book, and internalizing that, and being able to make educated choices that will please Him and eventuate in our becoming more Christ-like. I'm a school teacher, right? And I'm a retired school teacher. And one day I was in the hallway, and my kids knew I was a Christian. One little boy came up to me in the hallway, and he says, Mr. M, Mr. M. And I go, what is it, Philip? He says, I got a new Bible. And I go, well, that's great, Philip. I think it's wonderful to have a Bible. He says, yeah, I really like it, too. And I said, what kind of translation is it, do you know? A third grader. And he said, I'm not sure. I think it's an NIV. And I said, an NIV? I said, do you know what that stands for, Philip? And he said, I think it's a new internal version. And I chuckled and I said, a new internal version. That sounds pretty good. I think it's new international version, but you're right, Philip. You do have to take it internally. And that's really what it's about, isn't it? It's about assimilating and internalizing this truth that we have had and letting it trickle down from our head into our heart and developing that heart reliance, that trust, that confidence in all the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord. And that has been the path. For me, I've always tried in my life to acknowledge the Lord and ask for that direction that He promises. I know that all things will work together for good. And yes, sometimes He does say no. Or sometimes He lets us go ahead and says, you know, you're really kind of pushing this because it's your will and you got a little bit of self-will in this. So I am going to let you go, but you're going to have some experiences that discipline you in the school of Christ. Doesn't mean I don't love you, like a parent, but I'm going to let you experience it. And just before you fall off the cliff, I'm going to grab you, sit you down and say, are your eyes open? Did you learn the lessons? So part of my prayers in my life is, Father, help me to have my eyes open to the lessons to be learned in my experiences of life. And so I could go on and on, you know, Sister Debbie's been a big blessing. I was directed, my wife, the Lord directed me to the path of marrying a beautiful woman like that and having a beautiful family that she has and adopting all of them. And I've been very blessed in that and very blessed because I've been in this path of the truth to have all of you as my family in Christ. I mean, tell me, where could you have a better family, a bigger family, let alone, but a better family than what we have? And this is only the tip of the iceberg. This is only the tip of the iceberg. This is only our present inheritance. Wait till you see what's on the other side. And along those lines, even Jesus, when he was asked, he says, why callest thou me good? Now, he was good, right? He says, wait till you meet my Father. Why callest thou me good? Wait till you meet my Father in heaven. Brethren, we can hardly comprehend what we've been invited to on these paths to experience the loving kindness of Jehovah. And as we internalize his truth right here, and as this becomes infused into our mind, in our spirit, and as more and more we have his mind and his spirit in our lives, he will direct our path. We will become more and more Christ-like and have the Christ mind to make the choices that will please our Father in heaven and to glorify his name. And as a result of that, our paths will lead us into the divine family of God, into that circle of not only Jehovah, but our Master Christ Jesus, and the apostles, and the messengers to the church, and the 144,000 of these beautiful beings that God has taken 2,000 years to develop, along with myriads of angels and cherubim and seraphim. Brethren, not only that, but to have the beautiful opportunity of lifting up the world of mankind, up the highway of holiness, taking away the blind and giving them sight, taking the deaf and giving them hearing, both figuratively and literally, to bless all the nations of the earth. Brethren, we have no idea what the Lord has in store for us if we stay on these paths of loving kindness and truth. And if we're submissive to the lessons of life that he gives us, if we're submissive and we're fully submerged in the Lord's will, we can know no disappointment.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Appreciate those comments. Well, we have just a few minutes left, so I had mentioned to the four speakers in a previous email that at the end, if they would so choose, you can take about a minute. We have about 5 minutes. And if you have any closing comments you'd like to make, and if not, you can say pass.
I think it was Brother Len who mentioned that we live in a time of transition. Just as the 60s, when we all grew up as baby boomers, was a time of transition. Social upheaval is perhaps a better word. And while we have each testified about how the Lord has guided us into his paths in the past, and we are confident he will continue to do so, I think it's important also for us to recognize and remember in this time of transition, the tearing down of the old social order, that we need to help each other. Help each other to recognize the Lord's paths and to help them keep in it. Sometimes we are just not equipped to see everything that we should see, but our brethren do see. And so let us not shirk our privilege and our responsibility to help each other see and stay on God's paths of mercy and truth.
Thank you, Brother John, Brother Lenny.
I've been really touched because these are all my friends besides being my brethren here, and some of the things I knew, stories I heard, I appreciated Larry's comments, and it got me to thinking, tomorrow night I have the testimony meeting. You've heard us in our own experiences here. And you say, what am I going to testify about? I'd like to make the theme of our testimony meeting tomorrow night Psalm 25:10. And think about what you might share with the brethren, because I think we get great benefit from these experiences that we have of somewhere in your life where the Lord directed your path in a way you would have never seen, but how it came out to be a benefit for you and how
it might be an encouragement for others. So I'd like us to think about that if you have nothing else to talk about, because I'm sure we will find something and we'll put this scripture in our heart, as was mentioned, and internalize it.
Thank you, Brother Len. So you have some homework for tomorrow night. Thank you, Brother Len. Brother Ernie.
I think one of the takeaways we should take from this, I try to take away from this, is just how much God loves us, loves His children. I mean, I when you go through the difficult experiences, when you go to the experiences where God asks you to go outside your comfort zone, where you go through experiences where the Lord says no, or the Lord doesn't bring an experience to an end, even though it's long and tiresome and burdensome and it's a heavy experience, all of that comes back to God's great love for you. Think about what God's invested in His plan. He's not only created the universe, He gave His Son, the most precious being to Him, to basically save this human creation. He couldn't have done any more. He couldn't have committed any more to do that. He did that because of love. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light out of love. He's invited us to be part of His spiritual family. And all of the things that happen in our life come because God loves us and He wants us to be successful. Just think about how much the Lord has done, how much He's invested, and how much He has love. I mean, that is not only awe-inspiring, I think it's tremendously humbling. The fact that the Creator of the universe, who sourced everything that you see and all the natural laws and all of the power and all of the energy, and He cares enough about us to oversee every aspect of our lives so that we can be His family and we can be successful and He can embrace us forever as a member of the family. I mean, that's beyond words to express.
Thank you, Brother Ernie. Brother Larry?
Well, kind of springboarding off of what our dear Brother Ernie just shared with us, you know, all the loving kindness of what the Heavenly Father has given to us in our lives, when we really look back, and unlike the Jews who often forgot the many things that God had done for them, you know, we need to continually sit and reflect, looking back sometimes over our lives and saying, look what the Lord did there. Look what He did when I was in that situation. And look how He guided my steps here and overruled this situation and helped me understand these things about His character, you know, and about His Son. And to me, the question that should be asked, and many of you ask, I try to ask it every day, and you're all familiar with it, and what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits unto me? And then to answer the question, what shall I render unto the Lord? What can I do in reciprocation? When somebody gives you a gift, don't you feel like giving a gift back? Well, God's given us the most precious gift He could possibly give when He subjected His Son to what He did when He came here on earth and proved faithful. But on top of that, He asks us to be part of that bride of His Son. And He loves His Son so much, He's developing this class to be the second Eve, to be part of that Abrahamic seed. But I tell you what, I couldn't close it better than just reading from Psalms, Brother Tim, and I'll close with this. The law, or the doctrine of the Lord, the truth, right, is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. It restores us. It revives us. The testimony of the Lord is sure. In other words, it's a trusty witness, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Commit these words to your memories, brethren, if you haven't already. Let the words of my mouth, can you repeat it? And the meditation of my heart be acceptable to thy and thy sight, O Lord, my strength.